Hello and welcome to our broadcast today. We'll be looking at the difference between the church and the movement. Stay tuned for our broadcast. Talk a little bit today about human reasoning. Reasoning is the power of the mind to think and make judgments by the process of logic. Our movement was founded on the faulty foundation of human reasoning from day one. Local churches are founded on the Word of God. On several occasions in the Bible, we find examples of those who reasoned among themselves. They were trying to understand and make judgments by the process of logic, and their human reasoning was always faulty. Matthew 16 and 7, they reasoned among themselves. 21 and 5, they reasoned among themselves. Mark 2, 8, they so reasoned with themselves. 8 and 16, they reasoned among themselves. Again, Mark 11 and 31, they reasoned with themselves. Luke 20 and 5, they reasoned with themselves. 20 and 14, they reasoned among themselves. 9 and 46, there arose a reasoning among them. The only safe way to reason about scriptural things is to follow the example of Paul, who reasoned with his listeners out of the scriptures, Acts chapter 17, verse number 2. In the early 1900s, liberalism and modernism was coming in like a flood. Concerned Christian leaders reasoned together concerning how to combat this problem. We concluded if we were going to battle liberalism and modernism and communism and socialism and all the other isms, maybe we better come up with an ism of our own. We called it fundamentalism. The outcome of this reasoning was a series of articles known as the Fundamentals. The preface to the Fundamentals was written by R.A. Torrey, and it reads as follows, quote, "The oversight of the selection of articles to be included in the Fundamentals was given to a special committee of men who were known to be sound in the faith," unquote. Reasoning that bigger is better, our special committee, armed with a logical humanistic reasoning that bigger is better, decided to bypass God's plan for local churches and formed a special committee. This committee was made up of Anglicans, Presbyterians, Methodists, Congregationalists. There was even a few Baptists and some other no-name denominations. Some sprinkled babies and called it baptism. Our special committee also included C.I. Scofield, who was divorced in 1883, remarried 3 months later, and was ordained as the pastor of a congregational church the same year. Our special committee, who, according to R.A. Torrey, were all sound in the faith, obviously ignored the fact that 3 times in the Word of God we are told that a divorced man is disqualified from being a pastor. Scofield was one of their friends, and he had a lot of influence, so don't worry about what the Scripture says. We'll just put him in here, and we'll ignore the Scriptures, and we will call it fundamentalism. Well, in our 14-point creed, otherwise known as the Niagara Creed, point 10 of their creed, it says, "We are responsible to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, rising above all sectarian prejudices and denominational bigotry." Nothing is mentioned in our creed promoting the local church or baptism, as these two important Bible doctrines could not be a part of our new parachurch movement if we were going to keep the unity. For the first time in 2,000 years, God's pastors, God's local churches were pushed aside, and our new movement became the spearhead of what we called fundamentalism. So we dumped the truth for unity. The goal was to keep the unity. Anyone who would suggest anything contrary to the creed would be guilty of sectarian prejudices and denominational bigotry. What's sectarian mean? It's religious beliefs typically regarded as heretical. Wow. Prejudice. An opinion not based on reason. Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're reasoning. What is a bigot? One who is intolerant toward those who hold a different opinion. Bigotry? Prejudices? opinion. For the sake of unity, R.A. Torrey, A.C. Dixon, W.B. Riley, Lewis Ferry Schaefer, C.I. Scofield, and other fundamentalists agreed to reduce the major Bible doctrines concerning the local church and baptism to a different opinion. For the sake of unity, we approved a creed that determined that those who were true to the doctrine of baptism by immersion were promoting bigotry. We sacrificed Bible doctrine for the sake of unity with baby baptizers and had the gall to call it fundamentalism. Our special committee compiled the works of many writers and issued them in 12 volumes. These 12 volumes were later printed in a 4-volume set. They sent what they considered to be the fundamentals of the Word of God to about 300,000 ministers, pastors, missionaries, workers in different parts of the world. Well, the fact that our special committee included a group of leaders with so many different doctrinal beliefs indicates their reasoning was humanistic rather than scriptural. The fact is, if they had checked the scriptures, they never would have bypassed God's pastors and God's local churches in forming a special committee in the first place. They thought they needed a big organization with some big-name people, so they set aside Bible truth to accomplish their goal. One of the contributors of our special committee was Anglican Bishop Charles Ryle. He wrote an article in the Fundamentals concerning what he called the true church, referring to the so-called universal church. He supported his position with absolutely no scripture whatsoever. What else could he do? There's no scripture to be found to support this so-called universal church position. The universal church virus was one of the foundational blocks for what we call fundamentalism. Ryle began his discussion with the question, "Do you belong to the true church?" Ryle's question plainly suggests that your local church is not the true church. Referring to their committee, Ryle also said, "Its members are entirely agreed on all the weightier matters of religion, for they are all taught by one Spirit." Agreed on the weightier matters? If the truth be told, Anglicans, Presbyterians, Baptists were not of one mind concerning baptism. However, the truth could not be told if we're going to keep the unity of the group. Keeping the unity of the group was more important to R.A. Torrey, A.C. Dixon, W.B. Riley, Lewis Ferry Schaefer, and C.I. Scofield than defending the important doctrines of baptism and the local church, and these compromisers called it fundamentalism. Baptism is one-third of the command of Christ in Matthew chapter 28:19. However, nothing is written in all of their 12 volumes about baptism for the sake of unity. Our compromising fundamentalists remain silent about this. And by the way, baptism, immersion is not a mode of baptism. Immersion is baptism. There isn't any other kind. Well, we found a better way. The new movement presented an open door to scores of parachurch ministries, colleges, newspapers, magazines, and the movement became the new focus. Local churches were reduced in value, and the movement took the preeminence. The God-given title of pastor was far less impressive than president, professor, administrator, director, editors, and such like. And so, you know, we just found a better way. God didn't seem to know what he was talking about. We found a better way. Any ministry that is organized outside of the local church is not part of the church. It is part of a movement. God has not given any instruction whatsoever concerning how movements are to operate. So everyone is free to do that which is right in his own eyes. We should have learned from the mistakes of Israel. These things are written for our admonition, it says. Back in Numbers chapter 30 and verse 1, Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded." What do you want? God had a plan for Israel, and that plan included tribes. In Numbers 24 and 5, he said, "How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel." Psalm 78:55, he made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. God's plan for Israel was very plain and it was very simple. Israel was divided into 12 tribes. God had ordained priests to teach, and in turn parents were to lead their families in the way of the Lord. Deuteronomy 6:4 begins, "And these words I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children when thou sittest in thine house." The word tribe and tribes is in the Bible over 350 times. It was God's plan for Israel. It was God's purpose to show himself powerful through his tribes. Well, we read in 1 Corinthians 1:27, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He just wanted them simply living in their tents and having tribes. But they didn't want to do it that way. They wanted to fight their battles like the nations do. So in 1 Samuel 8:20, we read that we also may be like all the nations, and that our kings may judge us and go before us in the battle. God did not want his people to take things into their own hands and fight the battles like all the nations. When God's people trusted God, he took care of his people. Israel should have trusted God in Samuel's day and then claimed the promise that Zechariah 12:9 says, I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Just let God do it God's way. That'd be a great thing. Well, Samuel pleaded with the people to keep doing things God's way, but we read in 1 Samuel 8, verse 19, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. Israel did not like God's plan, and they refused to stay with it. Well, Israel's first king was King Saul. His principal focus was to conduct a confrontation against the Philistines. Israel's new organization appeared to be a much better plan than all those little tribes in their tents. Israel's second king was King David, and it looked great at the beginning. However, following King Saul, King David, and King Solomon, God's word declares that about 80% of the kings did evil in the sight of the Lord. When we reject God's way, we pay dearly for our rebellion. God is not mocked. The Bible says the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years, Judges 13:1. Soon we find God's people in total bondage in Babylon and in Assyria. Why? Because they wouldn't just leave it simple and do it God's way. Well, for Israel, it was priests teaching their people and parents training their children. God's command today is the local church. He gave pastors to teach the people to go home, and you fathers bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is so simple. All we had to do was follow God's plan, and it would have been done. Well, we decided that we couldn't do it that way. We had to go with a movement. So we started colleges. The world has colleges, so we had colleges. The world has doctor's degrees, so we gave doctor's degrees. The world has newspapers. Well, we better start some newspapers. The world has magazines. Well, let's publish some magazines. The world has seminars. Well, we'll get some seminars going. The world has associations. Baptists alone have over 300 different associations now. The world has their board of directors. Well, we'll just replace our pastors in our parachurch ministries with a board of directors. Let's just do it that way. Well, God's plan for our age is pastors, and what the pastor is supposed to do is teach the people in the local churches. It is so simple, but there are now thousands upon thousands of fundamental parachurch ministries on the internet doing that which is right in their own eyes. And to add to our fundamental confusion, in the last few years, new issues have come to the forefront, with many fundamentalists taking many different stands concerning these issues, and confusion reigns. A partial list of such important issues are Bible translations, music, standards of dress, standards of music, Calvinism, lordship, salvation, repentance, separation. All these issues are out there, and we've got our parachurch leaders just saying everything they want to say. While many fundamentalists continue talking many different positions on all these issues, it becomes obvious that the word fundamental means something different every few years. The term now raises more questions than it answers. I've been a Christian for over 58 years, and I have seen fundamental groups come, and I have seen them go. I have watched these different groups of fundamentalists form their own core of beliefs concerning what they thought was important. I have watched fundamentalists change their position on such issues as the King James Bible, music, dress standards, separation, and all the rest of it. These things were and are being set aside for our modern ideas of fundamentalism. Well, Israel said, no, we don't want the tribes and the tents and all that. We will have our kings. We want our kings. Well, we didn't learn. We've done the same thing. We've got our kings all over in the fundamental leadership department. And boy, have they led us astray. The plan, let's just get back to doing it God's way. Let's get back to the local church. It's very plain, and it's very simple.